please listen carefully.
Well, hello world, and welcome to the Optimist Daily Update. I'm Christy Jansen.
And I'm Summers McKay.
Welcome back, Summers. We are part of the team behind the Optimist Daily, making solutions the news. We bring you reader-funded solutions news every day in order to change the tenor of the news media and the direction of your day to one focus on solutions.
7 days a week, we publish positive news stories written by award-winning journalists and delivered online to your inbox and through our social channels. And now we are sharing these solutions in a commute-worthy, walk-worthy, let's have some hard discussions and get real-worthy, home office-worthy podcast. Today is Wednesday, June 3rd, 2020.
And Summers, welcome back. Glad to have you here. How was your couple days off?
My couple days off were extraordinary. I, as you know, have not taken a vacation, like a real vacation, in years. And to just go away and kind of be disconnected and spend time with my daughter was magic. It was her first swim lesson and she played on the beach and we just had an extraordinary time. It was also a really, really hard time to be away from this job. And I wrestled with listening to the podcast or trying to keep up with headlines, but I also was trying to be very, very present for my daughter. And I wrote a post on Facebook about it, feeling really torn about not being able to participate or not choosing not to participate in a really important dialogue that was happening, really kind of wrestling with my own privilege of being able to say, no, I'm going to step away and be with my daughter. So it was kind of an interesting experience. And I'm really grateful to the team and for everybody who just sort of blocked me out and didn't let me come and participate. But I also had a really hard time being away because the work we do at the Optimist Daily is so important. And I know that we are wrestling with how we as an organization can handle the social injustice and racial inequities that we see in this world today. So it was amazing, but I'm glad to be back and I am breathing deep because we've got some big things to tackle and some big solutions to take on. How'd you guys do without me?
We did fine. Amelia was great as always.
What? The world didn't fall apart because I was gone for 2 days.
No, you are invaluable, but you're not irreplaceable, Summers, just like all of us.
Amen, sister. I agree.
But I'm really glad for you to take that time. It's so important for us to find that balance in our personal lives and take care of ourselves and have those moments of really stepping away and reflection. In a funny way, me having the medical situation that I had the other week was really a good opportunity for me to step away and not pay attention to the news for a few days. And it's really hard in times like this when there is so much to report on and to, you know, help our readers and help ourselves understand, but not just from the inflammatory way, but what are the deeper currents, put it in context and actually change the framing so we can see where the solutions lay in the difficulties that we're all confronting right now. And right now feels like there are many. It feels like a historic moment. And we are going to talk about that a little bit as we get into today's podcast. It's been interesting. And I missed you because our leadership of this organization, it's really important to me to have a partner in it like you, someone to bounce ideas off. So anyway, I missed you, but I'm really glad that you got those days off.
One of the things before we get into the meat of this conversation, a while ago, I worked with a spiritual mentor and I expressed that I kept getting sick. I kept getting really bad sinus infections that would take me out for a day or two. And I said, in a way, that's the only break I get. And she really pointed out to me, she said, if you don't take a break, your body will force you to have a break. So in a way, Christy, part of you going through what you went through medically this past couple weeks reminded me of my own medical journey and the different things that I've gone through. And that was a big part of why I said, no, I really have to be disciplined and step away, because if I don't, my body will make me. And I think definitely your next vacation, let's plan for a couple days off and actually make you do that as opposed to make you have an organ removed in order to do that.
Amen, sister. I agree.
That would be, if we titled each podcast, I think we would just call this one Amen, Sister, I Agree, right? Okay, so let's take it on. Let's
All right. The story that I wanted to highlight is our lead story for the day. And I just think this is a really important conversation to have. The title of this article is Understanding Whiteness, the First Step to Ending Racial Discrimination. This is from our Building Community section on the Optimist Daily. The thing that is interesting in this current conversation for us at the Optimist Daily, the majority of our staff is white. And I know from personal experience, sometimes it's hard to see the privilege that we are granted just by the nature of that, the color of our skin. My husband is from Mexico, and I've watched him wrestle with some of the discrimination that gets thrown up against him, the judgment and the looks, which I don't even see, but he is very, very sensitive to, very aware of in the context most recently of all the negative rhetoric against Hispanics that we've experienced the last couple of years in this country. It's not that different from the past. It's just now becoming more widely spoken. What's going on right now with the racial profiling and the discrimination of the police and the unusual force used against African Americans and other people of color, it's something that we don't even think about. We don't have to be worried. I, as a white middle-class woman in this country, I don't have to worry if I'm stopped with a speeding ticket or if my taillight is out. But for people who don't look like me, that can be actually a very terrifying situation. And I think as this conversation of racial justice really gets to the mainstream and we really have to wrestle with it, we have to understand what our whiteness is. And this article that we wrote in the Optimist Daily, and it links back out to an article written by Savala Trepsinski, the executive director of the Center of Social Justice at UC Berkeley School of Law. It's a great article talking just about what is whiteness and how is it not understood even by white people, people who are African American or Hispanic or of color of any kind. You ask them, how do you know you're black? How do you know you're Hispanic? It's really easy for them to answer because they get reminded of it constantly. For us who are white, we just take for granted that the world is ours. And that's part of the nature of being a member of the dominant cultural race. Anyway, I just think this is an interesting article and I encourage people to go and read it. It's something that I think we as women summers can understand if we think about how the dominant cultural gender is male. And that's been something that's coming up in our cultural understanding that being a woman in our society is a little bit complicated. And the sort of the basic assumption that the universal human is male, the universal human is white. For white males, it's hard for them to see that there's a distinction there. I can apply that to my experience of being white. And when I think about my husband, who's not white in his experiences. And I have good friends who are African American. I'm very interested to hear their reactions to what's going on compared to other people who don't have that experience.
I gather with some friends socially distantly on my friend's lawn every weekend, and we let Brennan play in the grass. And we were having a conversation very much about this past Saturday in really needing to break down what it is that we are missing about this whole thing. And we consider ourselves socially progressive. We consider ourselves conscious. We just don't even know the microaggressions or behavior that is endemic to the privilege that we have of being white people in America. And so my girlfriend was mentioning a book called White Fragility, and another leader in our community who founded an organization called Women's Economic Ventures has started kind of a book club group encouraging people to read White Fragility. The Time Magazine article that we sourced our Optimist Daily article from also references another book about this. And I think that a lot of really hard reflection is critical right now. And this is mirrored with a confusion on the part of people who don't see themselves as racist or not offering equality in any way. And I know that as you and I are talking as white women, we say, okay, well, we kind of get it in the sense that we can understand that women don't feel that first primary position, right? The assumption of when I watch cartoons, there was a kind of an older cartoon that Brennan was watching. And sure enough, the doctor was the male and the primary caretaker was the mom. And I was like, oh, well, there it is. There's that cultural references of roles that we play right there. Then I don't even think about the fact that everybody who's in leadership in these commercials or cartoons are all white. So representation, diversity, and things that we don't even recognize, we have to take a really hard look at. Looking at our own organization, figuring out how we've talked about how to be responsive and not reactive at the Optimist Daily, and not just sort of getting swept up in the momentum of everybody changing their profile pictures, but instead being truly responsive and really making strategic and thought out decisions on how to make a change. This article, I think, is a brilliant piece from our editorial manager. I'm really grateful for the courage of everybody on the team to say, okay, let's talk about this. And that this conversation is not a one-time conversation. We are going to be having it for quite a long time.
And I think that's the hope, and that's what needs to happen. I have a friend who grew up in Compton, and the thing he pointed out the other day when I was talking to him about the riots and the protests is that police violence against Black people is not a new thing. Mm-hmm. And growing up in Los Angeles in the 90s, the Rodney King video was one of the first things that sparked some unrest in LA. Watts has always been a center for challenge. Compton, straight out of Compton, that's the whole hip-hop and rap. It's not like these are new themes. It's just that it's hard for us to ignore it anymore. I'm actually heartened by the way it's coming out and not being dropped. Usually it comes out and people have a couple days of protest maybe, or it gets to the top of the news media for a day, but then it's easy to sweep away. And that's one of the things that, as a white person who is progressive and is interested in equality and social justice and racial justice and racial equality, I have to really look at how I am not just not racist, which, you know, everyone has our assumptions that inform how we understand the world, but how do you become an anti-racist? How do you become somebody who's not just turning away and sort of a non-participant and, you know, silent bystander? How do you go from that to actually being a proactive participant in really moving this, changing this? This has been an active part of our conversation for 50 years, 50 years since the civil rights movement really happened in this country. You know, it's our entire national character is built on a system of racism and genocide, and we have to take stock of that and then move past it. So I think this is such an important time and moment. And I know this is the Optimist Daily. We're looking at solutions, but I think that the fact that these protests have really taken hold is interesting. And I'm interested to see how it comes out. And I'm hopeful that it really is a inflection point and we have a moment of seriously taking this into the next level of true racial equality and social justice.
To your point, at the Optimist Daily, we are looking for solutions. And a lot of people are asking themselves, what can I do differently? And we are being very measured and very thoughtful about the articles and stories that we share, because we want to ensure that we're not just whitewashing or greenwashing this by saying, well, here are the silly things you can do that don't actually make a difference in promoting racial justice. The article that I wanted to go into today speaks specifically about what you can do to promote racial justice in the workplace, and looking for other articles and other sources and other voices to help us understand this is really, really critical. So if you have an article that you have read, or if you have a voice or a thought leader that you follow that we should be aware of at the Optimist Daily and voices that we should include, please send them our way. But in this story, this is how to promote the experience at work. And the very first suggestion is just simply to get to know more people of color. Fear is often the root of bigotry, and the absence of familiarity can breed fear. So have a Zoom call, have a meeting with someone of color, and get to know them as a person and as a friend. You know, some of our workplaces are returning to a more common cadence. So if you're carpooling with somebody, carpool with a person of color, have lunch with a group of strangers, listen and get to know people. The second suggestion is call a friend of color this week to discuss the current state of affairs. Think of someone that you know, and if it takes you more than 15 seconds to think of someone, go back to tip number one. Talk to your kids about race. Too many white and Black kids grow up in their own little bubble with very little understanding of the complexities of the outside world. I know that my older kids and I are having conversations about race all the time, and I'm trying very hard to ensure that the books and cartoons and things that Brennan watches and reads include diverse representation, because I don't want her to grow up in an all-white bubble. There are a bunch of other great tips on there.
That's a really important question. Like, why is diversity important? Why is it important to have people from different backgrounds and diverse perspectives on your team? And I think that's just something to acknowledge, that it's the diversity of perspectives that can come up with real innovations. If everybody is from the same schools, the same gender, the same background, the same class, it's really hard to get out of that bubble of, oh yeah, we know the answer to this. But when you think of somebody who's from a completely different background, you might even come up with a whole new solution to a problem that maybe it's not even a problem you would have considered. And it's an opportunity for your company to grow or come up with a new market, a new way of solving a question. Diversity is where creativity happens. That's why I think it's so important from a business standpoint to have diverse backgrounds and diverse races, diverse classes, diverse genders. We don't know what we don't know. And so,
right. You know, you and I have the leadership experience so oftentimes, Christy, that we're in such alignment, and it feels great to be in alignment and to know that you and I are more often than not going to agree. But I think perhaps seeking disagreement or seeking diversity of thought is as valuable as alignment. We have committed at the Optimist Daily to increasing diverse voices in our publication and in our organization and in our leadership. And hopefully other organizations will do the same. This is not something that's going to happen tomorrow. It's going to happen over the course of the longevity of our company and for sustainability. And we talk about sustainability all the time. A sustainable company must be a diverse one.
It's also generally more successful. It actually ends up improving your bottom line if you are really interested in being successful. Yeah.
We are going to continue this conversation. I realize that this is a different version of the Optimist Daily Update. Sorry to go away on vacation and come back and be all different. But I know Amelia and Christy have kind of laid the foundation and the runway for this conversation, and it will continue. I think, Christy, we should probably wrap up and get to our work day.
I agree. And there's other stories on the Optimist Daily Day that aren't just talking about racial justice, although there is another one that I really liked about some New York restaurants that are handing over profits for racial justice. And I think that's really interesting because a lot of the people who are in the restaurant industry actually are people of color. And so they feel this very deeply, even though many restaurants are really, really suffering right now because of the way that the economy has shut down. But I think that's a testament to how important this conversation is. In addition, there's an article about wooden wind turbines making Swedish renewable energy even greener. More than 200 business leaders are urging the UK government to go for a green economy. There's an Earth School that's aiming to keep kids connected to nature while they're stuck at home. And that's in partnership between TED Education and UN. And so there's some really other great articles on here. I recommend everybody go and take a look at if you want to get your head into the solutions mindset.
And there's also an article about smelly feet if you just are looking ahead at your summer and saying you're a smelly foot person. It's a broad range of solutions, but there's some really important ones in there today. And please take a look at it and continue to share voices with us. Thank you guys so much for listening to the Optimist Daily Update. We promise to continue to share positive, thoughtful, solution-based stories with ideas on how you can participate in this changing world and ensure it is changed for the good. We promise to cover the current events with accuracy, legitimate sources, and offer you the information you need most to chart new paths for all of us.
And please consider becoming an emissary on theoptimistdaily.com. And for just $5 a month, you can support reader-funded independent journalism and be a part of the solution-changing consciousness, addressing our world's biggest challenges with a problem-solving mindset. That's it for today, Summers. And everybody, thank you for listening, and we will be here tomorrow.
All right. Thanks, guys.